from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yesterday, an animal, well, sort of, the penguins, as we were actually doing the show, made a little bit of news. And, of course, anytime there's penguin news, we always have to go to our go-to guy, Dan Kangurski. And, Dan, you weren't expecting to work yesterday like you did, like you ultimately ended up doing, as the Penguins pulled off a rather interesting trade, didn't they?
Yes, they did. And it did come as a bit of a surprise. There were no rumors, no rumblings. They kept it very quiet. And then the news broke somewhere, I think, around 11:30, 12 o'clock, that they had swapped top prospects with the Winnipeg Jets, sending their 2023 first-round pick, 14th overall, Braden Jaeger, to Winnipeg for Winnipeg's 2022 first-round pick, also a 14th overall kid, Rutger McGroarty, coming back to the Penguins. And all hell broke loose after that.
Right. Well, you know, the thing about it is there's two elements to this. One is obviously you can speak to the player they're getting, but the player that they're giving away, was that sort of the equivalent of giving up on a guy that they had high hopes for? Or what sort of is the genesis of all this?
You know, that's a really nuanced question and answer, because here's the underlying situation. Winnipeg was not going to sign Rutger McGroarty. They were going to lose him, I think, in 1 year to free agency, because when you go to college, if you don't sign your entry-level contract by the time you're done, then that August, you become a free agent. And some guys like Justin Schultz have used that to their benefit to get to pick their teams. So Winnipeg was not going to sign McGroarty. The trade for top prospect is kind of interesting. I don't think the Penguins gave up on Braden Jaeger, not after 1 year. That would be really silly. But I do think they got a better sense of who and what they had, where his ceiling was. I mean, he scored a lot of goals. He scored 35 goals in the WHL last year. But when we scouted him up in the Memorial Cup in Saginaw back in May, there were some clear flaws in his game. He won the Gentlemanly Trophy in the WHL. There were some things I was kind of a little bit sour on. And McGroarty is kind of a heavy winger, a guy who can make plays but also go to the front of the net. And for the Penguins to make this trade, they have to think that McGroarty is a better player than Jaeger. And I think that's what it came down to. Still an awkward and a bit of an odd trade to give up your top prospect, but that's the only way I can figure that it works.
Well, and you know, I've read some people that said that he's got to be in the top six.
Oh, I don't think that's true. Certainly not his rookie year anyway. I don't think you dunk the kid in the deep end of the pool as a 20-year-old. You're like, hey, you're going to play with Sidney Crosby now. I think you work up to that moment of playing with Sidney Crosby. Now, is that saying that he won't? No, but I think there is a process and some steps between here and there before he plays with Crosby. Now, when you say top six, though, Paul, that also includes Evgeny Malkin. And I really liked what Michael Bunting and Malkin did at the end of last season. So I don't think you break that up. I think it does come down to first line or third line. Whoever the heck is going to be on that third line, you know, might have a pretty good winger.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a big thing is, it seems like or it feels like, given the confines or whatever you want to say of what he has the ability to do and not do, it feels like Cal Dubas is slowly but surely trying to, make over the roster and push the thing into, rebuilding, kicking and screaming if he has to. But what are your thoughts on what he's done this whole offseason so far?
Well, it's certainly interesting giving up your top prospect if you're in a rebuilding mode, right?
Right.
But I think this offseason has really been I guess I'm at a loss for a singular adjective for it because they've taken on salary dumps. I mean, they didn't get better players by acquiring Kevin Hayes and Cody Glass. They didn't get better players signing Anthony Bevilier and Matt Grizzlick. And, maybe they upgraded a little bit with Blake Lizotte, who will be kind of a crash-bang fourth-line guy, whether he's the center or one of the wings. But they didn't make changes to the top six, and they didn't upgrade the rest of the roster. They just kind of filled spots. So it's kind of a very uneasy stasis, setting themselves up for kind of a big clean slate next summer or two summers from now. This is just kind of, rolling the rocket to the launch pad for that rebuild.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing is, and of course everybody right now is sort of hanging on and just trying to figure out what's going on with the captain. I'm assuming there's no real updates with regard to Crosby and his contract, correct?
There are zero updates. It would be about 7 or 10 days ago, talked with sources, and I kind of laid it out, Paul. I'll tell you the background of my question. A singular, statement question to sources, hey, give me one word. Just say comfortable, optimistic, no problem. Give me a little something to quell the speculation, and we can all go about our day. And the answer I got back was, we don't want anything out there either way. So you read into that whatever you want to. I certainly was like, okay. That's what I know.
Yeah. Well, again, I think everyone's pretty sure that he's going to remain with the Penguins. But of course, as it goes on, people start to get a little bit more nervous.
I think they should. Yeah. I mean, listen, we're almost into September now. This is getting a little awkward.
It certainly is. And then the other question, Dan, is. And whenever we're on the final word together, I always do that shtick with, bring them all back. But, are we basically looking at the same goalie situation in this year as they had last year?
Most likely. I think the same players anyway. Whether or not it's the same division of labor is certainly up for debate. I think Alex Nedeljkovic probably earned a little greater share than he had at the start of last season. I don't think he's the number one guy by any means, but I think you could see a more even distribution in net. And then, you don't know what other teams are going to go through. You don't know when an older guy is going to hit the wall or a team's going to have injuries and one of them becomes a sought-after trade target. Right? I mean, right now it's going to be Jari Nedeljkovic. But if, a team in contention needs a goalie, I certainly would circle one of those two guys, depending on the situation with the other team, as a prime target, because the Penguins have a pair of kind of hot shot prospects now who are going to start the season in Wilkes-Barre.
Yeah, well, we'll have to see. We'll have to see how it all plays out. Of course, everything starts. Everything begins when Sidney Crosby gets his situation resolved. Dan, thank you so much, as always, for jumping in and breaking it down. And hopefully you can have a couple of days where you don't have to worry about breaking news.
Yeah, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. Thank you, sir.
Have fun, Paul.
All right. Dan Kangurski, Pittsburgh Hockey Now.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time. for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back. We're at Living Treasures up here, Animal Park, in Donegal. And Matt, I hear there's a visitor, a different visitor coming that might alarm us a little bit.
Yeah, it's a scaly friend. She's pretty big, so.
I hear a 40-pound snake. Is that what I'm...
40 might be on the upper end. She's probably closer to like 36 to 37.
Okay, so we'll keep ourselves posted for the arrival of the big snake. In the meantime, we're going to talk to our good friend from the Post-Gazette, Mike White, who also is a part of our high school football coverage on KDKA AM. And Mike, if you were here sitting next to me, you would get a chance to hold a 40-pound snake.
No, Paul, you got that all wrong. If I saw that thing coming in, I would immediately leave the show and leave it. I don't do snakes, garter snakes, any kind. Definitely afraid of them. If that thing came near me, I'd leave the show.
We had a little smaller snake. There she is, but we had a little smaller snake out here earlier, and I survived it because I feel the same as you. I'm not a big fan of snakes, but I'm trying.
Not a big fan. I can't even describe what I'm like. I tell you what, if I was doing that show and they brought it, I'd say no, don't even bring it near me. I'm going off the air if you do.
Well, anyway, good thing for you is all you have to do is cover high school football. And don't
That's right. No snakes tonight at Montour, I hope.
So you're obviously a part of our coverage on KDKA. I know there are some big games that we have this weekend, but what are, you know, first of all, when you look at this season coming up, you know, this is your what? Probably 40th season of covering high school football, something like that?
You know, someone just asked me that the other day, and I sat down and figured it out. The first game I covered, I was working part-time. First game I covered for the Post-Gazette was a sophomore in college, dating myself back in 1981. So if you count that, this will be, what, 43, 44 years covering games?
Wow, 43 years. So you've seen a lot of high school football. You know, Mike, has it changed over the time, the course of time? I know that we used to have a lot of, you know, a lot more Division I type guys, but at the end of the day, how has it changed over the course of those time?
Well, Paul, if you go back to when I was starting this in the 80s, I mean, it's not even comparable as far as number of Division I talent. Now, there were a lot more players back then. The population was bigger, but no, it's not anything like it used to be, even compared to 20 years ago. I mean, you know, I think we have 18 guys right now committed to FBS schools. We're going to have a few more probably. So it's probably nowadays a year in the 20s, low to mid-20s, that's probably average. But we used to have 30. Back in the 80s, we'd have 30 guys going to power conference schools or 25. Now we get 6, 7, 8, maybe 9 a year at the most. But, you know, as far as how it's changed, it's changed drastically. Just forget about the talent, Paul. You know, you asked that question, I'm just sitting here thinking, like, just the style of play. You know, you didn't have anybody pass for 2,000 yards during a regular season. You know, this was, I think, high school football everywhere, but especially in Western PA, it was a 3 yards and a cloud of dust, and you saw a lot of wing tees, you saw a lot of I formation, and just run, run, run. So the style has changed dramatically. Some of the other things have changed. I mean, you know, those games used to – I remember first, even when I went to high school, we had games starting – most of them started at 8 o'clock, and they were over usually by 10. Now they start at 7, and – there's not a high school game now that very, very rarely does it last less than 2.5 hours. You're looking a lot of times 3 hours by the time with all the passing, and that's okay. You know, more exciting, but those are some things. The style has changed drastically offensively, I think, and kids are bigger. Definitely, that's changed too. But even just time. So, and you know, another big change. I mean, the City League is, oh my gosh, not even comparable to what it was then. You know, even back then, the teams were playing on their own home fields and weren't good home fields. I think it's a good idea to play them all couples. But you had back in the 70s, you probably had, I think you had 12 or 13 City League schools still playing then. You know, Oliver and South Hills. And now you have five. And one of them doesn't even play. They play an independent schedule, Carrick. So, you know, it's, yeah, been a lot changed since I first started doing this. But it's still, you know, we did a quest for the best show with Hampton last night. There's just still something in the air special about Western Pennsylvania football and Friday, especially first Friday. But I've always said this for years. I love being in the school sometimes, just for a little bit, the day of a game, a home game, a Friday home game. There's just a feeling, especially the bigger schools. Just a feeling of, I don't know, kind of excitement. It's just kind of neat, and I still think that feeling is there today.
Well, some things don't change. Like, for instance, Aliquippa, I'm reading, it seems like they're going to be really good again this year. But they have a new coach, right? Did I see that correctly? His name? Mike Warfield, he stepped down at least for a year or stepped away or whatever. So, I mean, how might things be different?
Yeah, he said it was kind of surprising. Although, you know, I talked to him. He was thinking about it even the last year or two. He stepped away in July, not long before the regular season practices started. I don't know. He said it's just like a one-year, maybe he might come back. I don't see him coming back, Paul. Unless they fall flat in their face, which I don't think they're going to do. They have too much talent there, and with some of the new kids they have coming in, but they're going to be really good. But an interesting thing with them, and in football and all the high school sports nowadays, especially football and basketball, because they were the first ones to do it. You know, Aliquippa has six transfers that are – a few of them are really high-profile guys. Like Larry Moon's one of the most heavily – probably most heavily recruited sophomore, WPIL, transferred from Central, another kid from Central, two kids from Central Valley. But three – one is ineligible for the regular season and the playoffs. The other six are eligible for the regular season but are not eligible for the playoffs. Under the PIA rule, if you transfer after your sophomore year, you're ineligible for the playoffs the next year unless you meet a few exceptions, and three of them did not meet the exceptions. So it's in you see this in basketball, Paul, of kids. You know, you've got a kid that's definitely a starter, worthy of a starter, but if you're a coach, you know he's not going to be around in the playoffs. Yeah, you're going to play him, but, you know, do you play him, you know, as much as you would if he was going to be there for the playoffs? You know what I mean? Like, I think that's a fine line. You got to figure out what to do because you got to get whoever his backup is ready. I think it's, you know, it puts another thing on some coaches when you have kids. And there's a number of them that transfer after their sophomore years. If you saw the list of people that transfer from WPIL to Rule On, it's really long. So Aliquippa has to deal with that. But Sean Patrick has taken over. He was played at Aliquippa, played at Kent State, been an assistant there. He's the guy Mike Warfield wanted to take over. And with the team they have, I'd be shocked if they don't go far again.
Well, I think that's going to be, you know, obviously always a storyline is Aliquippa. Are there some teams that are moving up or down in class that could, you know, upset sort of the equilibrium? I think Central Valley's moving down, right?
Yeah, Central Valley moved down. They're our game of the week tonight. They play at Montour. Central Valley moved down from 4 to 3. They were in 3, played the last couple of years in 4. Bell Vernon's won the last two 3A state championships. They moved up, Paul, to 4A. They don't have Quentin Martin anymore. They lost some other guys, but I still think they're going to be pretty good. And I think it's one of the most interesting games of the year. Next week, the opener for both of those teams is Bell Vernon at Aliquippa. There's not very often you get two state champions playing each other in their first game of the year. I think that's pretty cool. It's a big game. And as far as moving, I think is interesting is Westinghouse. They lost in the state championship the last 2 years in 2A, lost to Southern Columbia, who's won seven in a row. They moved down to 1A this year, Westinghouse did. Their coach and kids really did not want to, Paul. Pittsburgh Public Schools said, no, you should. We're going to move down. And they moved down because of their enrollment. It wasn't a choice of theirs. But they could have stayed up in 2 if they wanted. And they wanted to stay up to get another shot at Southern Columbia. That team, I was at their camp last week out in the middle of nowhere in Camp Conaqui. They've got players, Paul. They were going to be really good no matter what, 2A or 1A. They lost one of their best players for the year, Keyshawn Robinson, one of the most highly recruited juniors in WPIL. He's out for the year with a hip injury, needs surgery. But they are going to be really good still. I would pick them right now to win single A, the state championship. But you got Fort Cherry, Clairton's good in WPIL, some other schools. So that's one of the storylines. You know what? I'm going to mention this one. This is one of my favorite storylines of the year. The coach at Bethlehem Center, Beth Center, their Class A school, I forget what Bentleyville is it? Anyway, their coach is Tony Resito, Paul. He is 83 years old. 83. And he's still the head coach. I mean, you can't be president when you're 83. That's too old. But you can still be a high school football coach, right?
Yes. I mean, has he been there for a long, long time, I'm assuming?
I think this is his fourth year. He has actually coached, I think, at five or six other schools over his time. He lives on a farm, kind of on a farm, still does farm work around the farm. He's in great shape. I saw him 2 years ago. I haven't seen him the last year or two. But, I give the guy a ton of credit. 83 years old, still coaching high school football.
That's incredible, really, if you think about it. I mean, hope at 83 I have the energy to do anything like that.
Exactly. I hope I'm here at 83.
Yeah, I'm 53, and some days I don't think I got the energy to do that. So you have this weekend, is there one of these, like, showcase events with, like, a bunch of different teams playing at, like, the Wolverine or something?
You're doing it. The KDK is all over it. Five games at the Wolverine, Woodland Hills, two today, three tomorrow. And you know what, Paul? If you put these things on around here. Now, the Wolverine had an event about 10 years ago maybe called the Rally in the Valley. They brought up Lakeland High School from Florida, Steubenville from Ohio, some really good teams. I think they had, four games maybe. But this might be the best as far as matchups go for an event. You're talking tomorrow – Steel Valley's our number one team in 2A, playing Clairton, the number two team in 1A. Then you've got Central Catholic playing this St. Francis Academy from Maryland, who is always ranked among the top, teams in the country, producing a ton of major college players. But I go back, still their most famous graduate from St. Francis, Paul, Angel Reese is from St. Francis in Maryland. So I'd say she's the most famous graduate. But go ahead.
No, I said, probably she would be. At least right now she is.
Yeah. They have some guys in the NFL right now, but they're not even in a league. They got kicked out of their league because teams wouldn't play them anymore because they were tired of them recruiting from everywhere. They bring kids in from everywhere. They're kind of like an IMG. But Central Catholic, they've got players too. That should be interesting. And then the last game is Beaver. They're my sleeper team this year at WPIL. They are a 3A team. They have almost all their starters back, a couple FCS recruits. They were 9-3 last year. They're playing Westinghouse, who hoping to maybe win a single-A state championship this year. I think that is a really, really interesting game. So if you're going to put an event together, I know Woodland Hills and Tymia Brown helped, did this, and a lot of other people, Brian Tarrant, their coach, they've really put together a really, really nice matchups. A lot of times when they do these things, like Pine Richland played IMG Academy back, six years ago or so. But it always seems like they do it the wrong year for the WPIL teams. They're a year too late. I mean, I would have loved to have seen Phil Dracovic's Pine Richland team play IMG Academy, but he graduated the year before. So they've got teams this year. Central's good. You know, Westinghouse is good. Beaver's good. So they've got teams that are – this is the right year to bring these teams in.
Yeah, that's the thing. I assume that they won't have Bishop Sycamore at this event.
No. No, but what's interesting is no Bishop Sycamore. You remember Bishop Sycamore had a couple teams. St. Francis Academy, they're playing Central Catholic tomorrow. North right. Allegheny's playing St. Francis tonight. Same school, but they've got two teams.
Oh,
it's like their B team. It's like their B. They call it their regional team, I think. So St. Francis is playing two teams, but they're not the same team playing tonight and tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's at least you won't have what was that guy's name? Roy, the coach from Bishop.
I don't remember, but I remember doing that story. They played Stowe Rocks. They played
right.
Stowe Rocks.
They played Stowe Rocks and lost, and everybody was kind of like, wait a minute. They lost to Stowe Rocks, but they're a national power?
And then they were going to play somewhere else the next day, like in Florida or something.
Yeah, they played against IMG, didn't they? And that was
maybe that was it. And they didn't. They don't really even have a school.
that was when the whole thing blew up, basically.
Yes. So, no Bishop Sycamores this year, although St. Francis is playing – two times in 2 days, but not the same team.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. So we get started this week, and the last one for you, Mike, is the Whipple Championships. Are they going to be the same? There's a couple of them at different high schools, and then
there's,
you know, four
there's
of them
a,
at the – yeah.
There's a slight change this year, Paul. A couple of years ago, the 5A was at Acrisure. But it's been mostly at Norwin the past few years. But this year, and the 4A, 3A, 2A, 1A were at Acrisure. This year, the 6A and the 4A will be at Acrisure in mid-November, and the 5A, 3A, 2A, 1A will be – I'm sorry, did I say – they will be at Norwin. The 6A and 4A will be at Norwin in mid-November, and the other four classes will be at Acrisure the following weekend. Explain it real fast. Everybody said, oh, can you do that? How can you do that? Well, the reason is this. The winner of 6A, and the brackets change all the time from the PIAA. The winner of the WPIL 6A and 4A enters the state playoffs in the quarterfinals, which start like the weekend of November 23rd. The other four classifications, the WPIL champ, enters the state playoffs in the semifinals. So 6A and 4A have to be done a week earlier. That's why they're not playing. And I'm sorry, WPL isn't going to rent out Acrisure Stadium. It's really expensive twice. They
right.
did it one time, and they're going to rent it out twice for two games. So that's why they're at different sites.
Okay. Well, Mike, I know you're going to be very busy the next many Friday nights. So thank you. Hopefully we'll do this again. And, thank you so much, and we'll see you soon.
All right, Paul, don't touch that snake.
I already did. Too late.
Oh, gosh. Run.
Yes. Anyway,
all right, buddy.
I'll try. That's Mike White of the Post, because that's a Matt. This snake that we have here, what kind of snake is it? And
she's a red-tailed boa. Her name is Rexy.
A red tail, how tall, I mean, how long is she?
If she ever, like, fully unclenches, she's, like, 9-10 feet, so. Snakes are normally tense, so that they don't ever fully stretch out. She's like, somewhere between 35 and 40 pounds.
So if they, was that how big she's going to be?
She's full grown.
Full grown snake. The head on this thing is amazing.
Yeah.
How big the head on that snake is. Now, are they... Seems like she's pretty peaceful. I had her around my neck, and I was thinking...
Yeah, she's really calm. Now, the other two snakes that are on exhibit, we have a whole bunch of controlled contact snakes we get out and carry around. But the other two snakes that are on exhibit, you can't really handle them. They're not nice at all.
How about this one?
Oh, she's a sweetheart.
Yeah, because I was going to say, she just seems pretty peaceful and just chilling there. You know, it's amazing. Really. If I'm looking at this thing, I'm like, that's... So, like, we're... If you were walking in the woods somewhere in
Columbia,
In Columbia.
Yep.
and came across one of those things.
Yep.
Now in the wild, are they mean or no?
They can be. They're normally high up in trees,
yeah.
So you probably wouldn't walk across one. They might fall on you, but that's about it.
Now, are they the kind that would squeeze you?
Yeah, she's full on boa constrictor.
Oh wow, but she doesn't.
No, most snakes generally won't squeeze down on something that they don't intend on eating. So that's like they always make the joke about like when you have a pet snake and it lays beside you to see if it's big enough to eat you yet. Like it is a joke, but that is the truth. Like they really won't strike at you unless clench down on you unless they're actually going to eat you.
Okay. Well, that's a very interesting fact. I'm not sure if that makes me feel better or worse, but I did have it around my neck for a few minutes.
Well, just keep in mind, we're both of the bigger variety of men here, so it takes a bigger snake to...
Yes.
So.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.